Hi again, everybody. Welcome back to the Eden Assignment. I am Karen Eden, Master Eden, Grandmaster Eden, Grandmaster Karen Eden Herdman, Master Karen Eden Herdman. Call me whatever you want. I'll probably answer, and a lot of people do get my name wrong, and I still answer, so just to let you know that. So we're good. Today I have a special guest with me that I am so happy to have on. It's my brother, Rich Grogan. Rich, how you doing, sir?
Karen, I'm doing fantastic. How are you today?
I'm doing real good. Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who don't know I have a lot of MAs, which are martial artists that listen to my programming, but a lot of them are not associated in MA. And Rich Grogan is a high-ranked martial arts master himself, and he does a lot of inspirational type coaching and that kind of thing. He's an inspirational speaker, and I guess coach, you could say, is the best way to put it. So, Master Rich, glad to have you on my show, sir, and I know that I didn't prompt you or brief you on anything, which
that's right.
I often
do with
my guests. My guests literally know nothing. I just say, you want to do a show with me? Most of them say, yeah, sure, and then we just fly with it. I do have something prepared in my heart today, and I feel led to tell a lot of people this. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to respect, appreciate, and enjoy the view in your rear view mirror. Master Rich, just let that sink in for a minute. I'm sure people know what I mean. The view in your rear view mirror, of course, things are leaving you as you move forward. Things are not going with you as you go. And I've had this experience recently, and it kind of blew my mind a little bit. Rich, let me just tell you, for some, you know, I'm a very spiritual person, and I know you are too, but it's just been the strangest thing. I know you are, and, you know, we're going to talk about that in a minute, but I have noticed, and you tell me, Rich, if you've noticed this too, it's like all of a sudden, just people that I've known for years and years and years, some friends, some family members, literally are just not into me anymore. And I'm saying that in a very nice way. Well, I mean, they're just not vibrating with my gyro. What else can I say in a very nice way? It's almost like, you know, I'm looking at them in a rearview mirror, and, you know, I understood when it was like one or two people, I'm like, well, you know, people have issues and problems. It probably isn't me. Can't be me. I didn't do anything to offend them. I try to be careful about things like that. But, you know, all of a sudden it was three or four people, you know, five or six. And now we're up to like 10 or 11 people who literally have given me some kind of message, sometimes in a very introverted way, that, you know, they're just not going to flow with me on this journey anymore. I mean, it's just really weird. And Rich, it kind of hurt my feelings, sir, at first. It kind of hurt my feelings. Then I being on a spiritual journey like we all are, I kind of said to myself, you know, there's a reason for this. There is a reason. Rich, I honestly feel, my brother, that God is cleaning out the chicken coop. I honestly think God is cleaning out the chicken coop. What do you think about that? Have you had any experiences like that lately?
My heart's pounding and I got goosebumps and the hairs of my arm are sticking up because I kind of felt like I was the only one. So I'm definitely glad we're having this conversation. And you know as well as I do, if, you know, you may have felt like you're the only one, I may have felt like I'm the only one. I know there's thousands of listeners out there that probably are feeling the exact same thing. So by us talking about it is going to help them, you know that they're not alone, but also give some insight on possibly what we've done or what we're going to do in order to keep moving forward, but also to justify why we're doing what we're doing. And I like the idea of God's kind of cleaning out the chicken coop, so to speak. That's I've never thought of it that way, but that is a great, great analogy moving forward. And as you know, as you continue to grow, you're always going to you're going to distance yourself from some people. It doesn't mean you're any better or any worse than anybody else. But those that refuse to grow, they become complacent. And I think life is just like any business. you know, you can only stay in regards to compared to being in the ocean. If you're in the ocean, you can only paddle so long. You're either getting closer to your shore, closer to the destination you're trying to reach, or you're running out of go-go and you're sinking. But to say, I'm about the same, you can only say that for so long because life continues to tick on by. Just like when you're paddling out in the ocean, you're going to get tired, and eventually you're just going to give up. So by you continuing to do what you're doing and continuously moving forward, unfortunately, that's the rearview mirror. We're going to leave some people in the back, in the rearview mirror. It doesn't mean, once again, they're any better or they're any worse, but you've got to continue. God put a vision in your heart, and you can only see that vision because he's given you the eyes and the vision to see it. They can't see it, so they're not going to understand it.
Well, let me take that a step further, because what you're saying is very, very true. And just because I am who I am, I'm going to take it real Jesus-y right now. And I always give people a little warning that, you know, if you don't want to hear it, now is your chance to tune it out, because I'm not going to stop with this. This is who I am, and I got to stand in this truth. Rich, I have a friend, and, you know, my particular friend was kind of a little bit of a party animal for the majority of his adult life. He came to know the Lord. He, on his spiritual journey, he confessed Jesus Christ. And in doing so, he discovered something. All of a sudden, he really didn't want to hang out with the people that he had been hanging out with for most of his life. And he couldn't put his finger on it. You know, maybe felt a little bit guilty about that. And then there were even some family members. It's not like he had anything against his family members. It's just that all of a sudden, he's marching to the beat of a different tune. And it's almost became exhaustive to be around other people who aren't on the same journey as he is, or you or I are, once you start a spiritual journey. And it can be very lonely at times. And you have to realize, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes when you're on a spiritual journey and other people that you were that were in your path before, probably the first thing they're going to do is leave your path when they see that you're no longer partaking in the things that you did before. And secondly, you know, they're not going to understand that for you to grow, sometimes you have to clean out the obstacles that are in your path. And it's nothing that you have to be mean about or that you have to be negligent about as far as liking or loving other people. It's just the fact that sometimes, Rich, you got to be selfish enough spiritually to save yourself. Sometimes you have to be willing to save yourself. Does that make sense?
Oh, the only question I've got is that guy you're referring to, is his name Rich Grogan? Because
how did you know?
Holy cow. Did you read my bio there? My gosh. You pretty much described me to a T. I was quite the party animal. I wasn't living the life that I know I should have. I was almost living like a double life, a life that my students thought I was, and a life that, wasn't the most, martial art toned life, you know, with the triangle, right? Mental, spiritual, and physical. That spiritual side of that triangle was missing big time. But December 17th, 2017, I was baptized and left all those sins in that tub. And I tell you, that thing was dirty when I got out. It was a lot of sin left there. But it was good, and it was the right path. And unfortunately, I still try and connect with friends from the past, but it's like we really don't have a whole lot in common anymore, but it was the right thing to do because I wasn't heading in a very good direction, and it was continuous. I was 47 at the time, and three kids, which I never saw. It was time to make a change, and I'm glad I did. But yeah, it's kind of funny you tell that story. I was like, that guy must be Rich Grogan.
Well, here's the thing, and I did not know that, and thank you for sharing that. But here's the thing. You know, you can't feel guilty sometimes about having to save yourself. You can't feel guilty about it. And sometimes, you know, I always say I could smell things that are spiritual. There is a spiritual realm and there is a physical realm. And when one or two things go a certain way, I'm like, well, okay. I'll always say, well, okay, it's probably nothing. But when something is consistently repeating itself, it will get my spiritual ear. It will get my spiritual nose. I can smell it. It'll get my spiritual eyes. I'm going to look that way and go, okay, I need to give this a little more attention. what is really going on in a peculiar way that in my case, you know, 8 to 10 women my age or older that have been in my path for some of them decades, all of a sudden I can tell they're turning, they're doing U-turns, they're unfriending me on Facebook. You know, they're not returning phone calls. I can tell there's something there. And in my heart, I'm understanding that, you know what, Brother Rich, it's not them. It's me. I'm the one who's changing. I'm not necessarily changing for the worse. I'm growing in a spiritual venue in a way that I'm going to be leaving some people behind. They didn't change. I did. And I've got to be willing to accept that responsibility in a spiritual way, that it's okay to let people go, and it's okay if you have to maybe clean out the chicken coop a little bit on your own, because you have to be able to love yourself enough to save yourself in that manner. Is this good or what?
That's a right hook of reality, baby. Bang! Lighten it up. That's what
it
my hat
really
says. Feel free to use it. I would like to think that you're either surrounding yourself with engines or anchors. You know, engines are the people that are driving and pushing you to be the best version of yourself, to be who you were born to be, to utilize your God-given talents, to reach above and beyond, to step outside that proverbial round hole and be who you're born to be. Now, those are the engines. On the other side, the anchors are the ones, they're fine, it's all good, we're not going to move forward. But once again, in life, you're either moving forward. In business, you're either growing or you're dying. And every day we're on this planet is one day less we have to live. So if you're not pushing to be your very, very best, then, of course, you're giving away a piece of your life. Well, time is life, right? You'll never get it back. And those are the anchors that continue to pull you down. They want to talk about the good old days. They want to talk about this. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're wanting to get the most out of this thing called life and leave a legacy behind and empower as many people as you possibly can, you know, utilizing your God-given purpose, then you're going to have to step outside that proverbial round hole. And in the process of doing that, you are going to leave some people in the rearview mirror. And it doesn't mean you're any better or any worse, but you've got to live. You've got one glorious life. God gave you the gift. And if you choose to utilize that gift, and you and I are in powers. That's what we're put on this planet to do. You know, he gave us a gift of not only being able to talk a lot, but the inspiration of the martial arts and to believe in him and to believe in the gift he gave us and utilize the vision that he gave us to make an impact in the world. You know, Bruce Lee always talks about throwing a pebble in the pond. Heck, I don't want to throw a pebble for the ripples. I want to throw a big boulder in the pond and make the waves splash up on the banks.
That's right. And, you know, well, let me just add to that, to what you're saying, Brother Rich, that sometimes there's a price to pay for standing in your truth. Sometimes there will be a price to pay for that. But you know what? This is a time for all of us to rise up and to be who we're supposed to be, who we are. It's time for us to rise up and be who we are, not just who we're supposed to be. I guess that's the best way to put it. You know, and you be willing to pay a price if you have to stand in your truth spiritually, because you know, we are called and we are by design here to be a certain way on our spiritual path to make a difference in this world. And it's, and you know, again, it's not like anybody has to be negative in any way, shape, or form or mean about it, but you need to be very firm on who you are and what you believe. And with that, I'm going to segue that into something that I get a lot, Rich, and that is in my walk, and everybody knows that I believe in Jesus Christ. You know, I get a lot of people who say that I don't want anything to do with the Christian faith because I was offended, that Christian people have offended me, people in church have offended me, pastors have offended me, and therefore I choose not to make that part of my journey anymore. Listen, you know, Rich, I don't think people understand. I don't care if you are someone confesses to be Christian, non-Christian, someone who is in church, or someone who doesn't go to church. You know, man will always let you down, ladies and gentlemen. But God is faithful. Listen, if I decided not to have my Christian walk because of other Christian people, I'd be the world's biggest atheist right now. I'm not kidding you. The people who offend me are not people who don't walk this walk. People who offend me tend to be people who are of the same faith as me, and I've got to, like, not in any way, shape, or form be offended at that, because that offense tends to get me off focus. You need to always remember that when you do things on your spiritual journey, you keep your eyes focused on God. And don't let other people who confess anything get you off that focus. That tells me you're a white belt if you don't want to believe in Christ because a Christian offended you. It's a very white belt move. You need to be able to be strong enough in your stance and in your journey to go, it's okay, I know who I believe, and I'm not going to let other people offend me to knock me off my path. Go ahead, Rich, take it.
Oh, well, my grandma would always say a couple things. She'd say, Richie, they called me Richie growing up. Richie, don't put your faith in man. Put your faith in God. Pretty much don't trust man because, man, I mean, we're corrupt. I mean, we are, and we're easily tempted by Satan. You know, people talk about the Holy Spirit floating, you know, around. Well, there's also the demonic spirit that's around, and what the demonic spirit does, it whispers. It just whispers in ears and does everything it can to corrupt the minds of men and women. And, of course, that corruption spreads like wildfire. But Satan doesn't actually do it. He just whispers. And to follow that point up, my grandma would also tell me that people that are offended by everything probably ought to take a look in the mirror and see what they're really offended about. And they're going to get a reflection of who it is that they've got problems with. And another right hook of reality, I think that's a big excuse. You know, we get so caught up in excuses of blaming others, and we live in an entitlement society where it's always somebody else's fault. Well, I would be a Christian, but this one time 20 years ago, this pastor said this. Okay, so that's really keeping you from the Lord? excuse on Judgment Day? Well, I wanted to believe in you, but, you know, 20 years ago, this happened in my life, and, you know, I just don't know. Well, that's an excuse. You know, excuse, I would go to the gym, but we've gotten so comfortable with making excuses. Now we make excuses for our salvation, but unfortunately, we do. And as much as we want to help as many people as we do, we can put it out there. You know, we always heard the example, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, I like to go a step further and say, you can't feed a rock. You know, if a person's a rock, they don't want fed, then you know what? I'm going to do what I can, but I'm also going to realize there's millions of other people out there that do want to hear my message. And my wife has been, gosh darn, so instrumental in that regard, because I'll get, you know, frustrated too when I allow those, I don't say frustrations. I guess it is frustrations. Like, gosh darn, I'm trying to help this person. Why doesn't this person want my help? And she'll say, look, not everybody wants your help, and you just got to understand that. But guess what? There's millions that do. So example I like to give, if a person's drowning and I throw in a life preserver and they push it away, I throw in another one, they push it away, and I finally said, gosh darn, why jump in? And I go, I'm trying to save you. And they said, well, I don't want saved. I just don't want to drown alone. So what do? Do you drown with them, or you say, you know what, I've got millions of other people I need to help? You move on. Now, some people think, well, that's selfish. Well, if I drown with this one person, then I've pretty much disrespected my gift that God gave me, which is empowering millions of others.
Right. Absolutely. Again, you know, there is a price to pay for standing in your truth, but you're never going to be able to be a full service for the kingdom of God and for people who need your help if you're not willing to pay that price. You know, and there's another sense that I would like to put out there when it comes to being offended. Things only offend you, Rich, if you think they might be true. Think about that. If I told you that you had the biggest, most horrible green polka dots on your face I've ever seen, you probably wouldn't even bat an eye and just think I'm a nut and you'd go away, and it's just like it wouldn't even offend you. But if I hit something a little close to home that you're insecure in, it may be something that will offend you. So, guys, you have to realize that if you know who you are and what you believe, these things are not going to offend you when it comes especially to people who confess to be of faith, who aren't acting very nice. I tell you what, Rich, it's been my experience in my lifetime. You know, a lot of people who are my brothers and sisters in Christ can be very mean sometimes. they can be very mean and very crude, especially if you're in ministry too. And you've got to realize that I tell people this all the time. You're talking about evil spirits. When the other side, when the enemy is going to attack, he's not going to attack in his own territory. He's going to attack in your territory and the consecrated areas where things are going to make a difference. And you also have to be able to smell that coming and know what it is for what it is. And I have learned when it comes to people of faith who try to be, you know, to engage me in particular battles, I just really just let that go because I'm not going to waste my time arguing with the devil, for lack of a better way to put it. And then when it comes for me being able to make a difference, I have such a dominion, power, and authority to do that. It just flows. So I don't know if people really understand exactly, you know, what I'm saying. I know people in ministry do. But the bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, that view in your rear view mirror that you're being forced to look at can be a wonderful thing, a good thing in your life, a cleansing that needs to come from heaven above. Let people who want to leave your path leave. Let them go. And know that you're going to be embracing even bigger and better and more beautiful people with spiritual reasoning in your path as you move forward. Brother Rich, what do you want to say in closing here? We're about done. How would you like to just put the cherry on top of what we're talking about?
Cherry on top, wrap it up in a bow. Just remember the front windshield is much bigger than the rearview mirror for a reason, because where you're headed should be much better than where you came from. And it doesn't mean you're leaving hell, so to speak, but if you're leaving an area that you've outgrown, be happy that that windshield in the front is much bigger than the rearview mirror in the back. And then most importantly, I think you hit the nail on the head several times about stand in your truth. If you know in your heart, if you know in your being, if you know in everything that you are, what you're doing is the right thing, then you got to go with it. And if it's wrong, if you mess up, be humble enough to say, hey, you know what? I goofed up, but it was a learning experience, which is going to help me move forward even more so as I continue to grow in my spiritual journey, as I continue to grow in my personal development, as I continue to grow as a Christian and as a human being and as a son of God.
Mm-hmm. Okay, tell everybody how they can reach you as an inspirational life coach, or if they would like to contact you and maybe talk with you. What is your social media or email or whatever it is you want to give away?
Well, and I've got my book. We're trying to wrap it up here. It's called Bullyproof, and it's essentially everything we talked about here, but it's a journey of me as a kid, meeting me as Master Grogan 40 years later, and we go on this journey together to become bullyproof, and a lot of that is blocking out negativity. I call it putting on your bullyproof armor to block out the negative arrows of the world when people try and hurt you or make you feel bad about yourself for doing and being who you're born to be. So that book will be coming out hopefully by the summer. It's called Bullyproof, but the best way to reach me is on my social media channels. It's Grogan's Bullyproof and Kickin' Life, and I think Bullyproof is the first step. And then kicking life is not just a good life, not just a great life, but, man, you're kicking butt, cashing checks, taking names, but believing your God-given talents to live your best kicking life. So essentially kicking life's butt. You can reach me on those social media channels. Also, I've got a podcast, and Karen, you've been on it a couple times, and look forward to getting you on there again, and it's called Grogan's Bullyproof and Kicking Life, and that can be found on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, wherever you get your podcast from. It's called Grogan's Bullyproof. And that's the best way to find me on Instagram, on the podcast, on Facebook. I don't do a whole lot with Twitter, but those main channels there.
Okay. Very good. Absolutely. I'm enjoying your stuff there, Rich. I like your posts. And, you know, I can tell just from what I'm seeing that you're on a particular journey and you have chosen to go forward with it sometimes in a very bold manner. And that's very encouraging for other people, and I hope that people can also be encouraged, to be willing to stand up for what they know is right in the spirit realm, not just in the physical realm. And I appreciate you, buddy. I thank you so much for being on our show. Ladies and gentlemen, things are starting to loosen up a little bit. I'll be posting some places that hopefully that maybe we can get together and do a quick handshake, and I'll bring some hand sanitizer, and, you know, that way we can sanitize our hands after we handshake. And you just keep on going on this journey, and we will see you next time on the Eden Assignment, okay? You guys have a good week. God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless, everybody.